Great to be here this morning. Welcome to the worship service of the Frederick Church of Christ. We have a guest speaker this morning. I call him PBN, Preacher Bert Newcomer. In Nick's absence, last week Joe filled in, but this week we have Bert bringing the message, and it's a good one. If you were here Sunday night, you got a preview of some of the scriptures and how the lesson may go this morning. A couple scriptures from the lesson. I believe these are some that will be closing. Bert, I asked for these, and thank you. John 10, starting in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief, Satan, the devil, comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or a more abundant life, some translations might say. And verse 11 says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd does what? Lays down his life for the sheep. Let's pray. Almighty God, we're so grateful for you, our Father, Jesus, our Lord, the good shepherd, who came so we would have life to the fullest, an abundant life, and for his willingness to lay down his life for our lives. Bless this worship service. Bless our lives. Bless our time together. Bless this church family. Bless believers everywhere, Father. Be with us as we focus and clear our minds and open our hearts to you, Father, to your Holy Spirit, to your word, to your songs, to our communion with you, Father, and Jesus, to our worship in spirit and truth. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Morning. Yeah, first off, I just wanted to start with acknowledging God the Father. This is Father's Day, and a lot of times we think about ourselves and, you know, go ahead, honor me, I'm a father, I deserve it, one day a year, blah, blah, blah. But it's all about God and Him being the Father. And being a father and becoming a grandfather, that's like the middle school or high school, because you see where there's areas that you're really great at being a grandfather that you kind of wish you had been more like as a father. And I'm not sure, but there may be a great grandfather in here, and I'm not looking for it to happen quickly, but I am interested in seeing what the change is from grandfather to great grandfather, because grandfather is just unbelievable. You can't explain it to somebody. They have to actually be a grandfather to understand. But I just wanted to acknowledge God, our Father, who's the whole reason we're even here. Okay, this is a little nerve-wracking. I mean, I don't know why. Well, no, that, believe me, that had nothing to do with it. But I did this lesson for the at the jail, and you know, it's different. I mean, you know, I love them, that's why I do it, but you guys are my family, and it changes the perspective a lot. Jim told me, he says, well, just imagine everyone in the orange and white striped suits. And I said, okay, all right, I'll try that. And you know, I go back to Philippians 4:6, be anxious about nothing. And it's hard to do sometimes. You know, I'm up here. I'm no different than any of you, except I'm up here and not sitting down there. You know, we're all to encourage one another, to help one another, to share things that we learn that will help us in our walk with Christ. And that's kind of how all this came about during prayer time, because I had given this at the prison, because, you know, I'm always trying to think of something that will, you know, something that they can take with them, and hopefully there'll be something here that you guys can take with you too. But it was during prayer time that the Spirit moved me to volunteer to preach at church. And I'm like, I don't know. But I did what the Spirit told me, and I told the elders, and this had been like a long time ago, you know, and I'm like, okay, I did it, good. Okay, God, I did it. Well, then at the men's retreat, Nick came up and said, hey, you're preaching. I went, oh. So I had to follow through with it. But, you know, and it's, I think it's something that, you know, it's, you may be anxious, but doing what the Spirit tells you to do, you know, when we can do that, because there's times that, you know, we don't do what we know the Spirit wants us to do. We do what we want to do. But I just encourage you that, you know, if the Spirit moves you to do something, do it. It's it might not be comfortable, but it is a step in the way of growing in your faith and love for God. Okay, this is my lesson's going to be, and Dave, you're just going to have to wing this because I don't do the clicker thing. But it's tools of Satan, and it's actually only some of the tools of Satan. Satan has a lot of tools. One big one is fear. That would be a lesson all on its own. And I guess if there's ever an opportunity, I would like to do preach one more time, elders. So, you know, if something comes over. Satan tries to discourage, deceive, distract, and cause doubt in us. And, you know, they're all things that take our focus off of God. And when we lose focus on God, we lose our peace. And, you know, peace on earth, peace, to have peace is so valuable that, you know, it's, we know it when we don't have it, and we're appreciative when we do. Satan uses these to separate us from God. And then when he's successful, he turns right around and accuses us before God, saying, look at them. And, you know, he's always trying to keep us separated from God, always trying to use all of these tools against us. And when I originally came up with this idea for a sermon, it was because of during my prayer time. I would be praying, and then all of a sudden, a thought would come through. Or I would pray for somebody at work, and then all of a sudden, I'm thinking about work. You know, Satan's always trying to take our focus off of staying connected with God. And then as I thought about it more, it's not just prayer time. It's any time. It's any time we're trying to do something for God. Any time that something good, that the Spirit moves us to do something good or say something good or help somebody, that we get discouraged or we lose focus or we get distracted. Our battle with Satan is second by second. It's not a one time, oh, well, I had my, Satan tried to get me once today, you know, so I'm good. It's every second he tries to attack us. If we could see spiritually, if we had spiritual eyes and could see the demons and the hatred and Satan working around us all of the time, we'd be scared straight. It would be a lot easier for us to say, ooh, I'm definitely not, you know, I know what I need to do, where I need to be, what I need to say, all of those things. But another thing we have to keep in mind is that the thoughts that go through our mind are not always our thoughts. You know, Satan puts thoughts through our head, and he wants us to think that they were our thoughts. And, you know, not to say that we don't have bad thoughts at times, but Satan's always there pushing us, because he just doesn't want to have us have peace. He wants to steal the peace that Christ wants us to have, that Christ died for us to have. And a bad thought is actually an opportunity to do good, because a bad thought is, we have the opportunity to deal with it properly. And when we do, that's us doing what God wants us to do. So, you know, a lot of times I would think, you know, all these negative thoughts, all these bad thoughts, it doesn't make us a bad person. How we handle those thoughts and what we do about those thoughts determines whether, you know, we've actually fallen in Satan's trap or not. Okay, discourage, one of the tools. To cause someone to lose confidence or enthusiasm. To persuade someone against an action. 1 Chronicles 22:13 says, "Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and laws of the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged." So he's telling us, don't be discouraged. It doesn't matter what happens. I mean, there's a lot of stories in the Bible that you would think that there's no way around it. But because God is strong and God will carry us through, and he's promised to carry us through, he will. Discourage is to take away courage. Courage is the ability to do something that frightens one. That's the definition. Courage is not doing something without fear. It's doing something in spite of fear. Courage is always, there's always going to be fear, or else it's not going to be courage. If there wasn't fear involved, it would just be doing something. So just because we feel fear sometimes, it doesn't make us less of a Christian. It doesn't. Fear is normal. We're all going to have fear at times. Okay, deception, to deceive. To deceive is to cause someone to believe something that isn't true, typically in order to gain some personal advantage. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Satan has always used deception from the beginning with Eve in the garden. You know, he's always, you know, tried to convince us that what we know and what we believe isn't right, isn't true. And, you know, deception is everywhere. We're deceived by Satan. We're deceived by other people, television. But probably our biggest enemy is when we deceive ourselves. And that's what we have to be on guard for, you know, all of these things, you know, and hopefully, you know, to be discouraged or to be deceived, distracted, or cause doubt, you know, to have doubt, that when we have those, we remember and go back to what Christ has told us, what Christ and Jesus died for us to have that peace. When Satan distracts us, to distract is to prevent someone from giving full attention. And, you know, I'm sure there's some here right now that are distracted. And, you know, when I was putting this together, I was thinking, you know, well, yeah, there's times I'm distracted as well. But Satan is always working on us. Satan is always working on us. And he tries to disguise it. So, you know, if Satan was, you know, we knew it was Satan, we would handle it. But he tries to deceive us without us knowing it's really him deceiving us. Luke 10:40-41. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are so worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Okay, do we sometimes miss the point because we believe something is more important? I mean, she wasn't, in her mind, she wasn't sinning, and I don't think she was, but in her mind, what she was doing was more important. And then when, I guess there was a little sin involved, when she got angry and said, "Hey, how come she's not helping me? You know, how come she gets to sit there and I have to stand up here and give the lesson?" But we have to really examine, you know, what is important? What is, we have to believe that there's always something possible that's more important than what we do. We're stubborn people sometimes. We get in our head and, you know, and if we're stubborn and we think we're doing exactly what God wants us to do, there's no stopping us. But that's not, that we just have to be open to hearing God, because God is always guiding and redirecting the things that we do. And, you know, we just have to be open and listen, and just listen and be still and listen. Okay, doubt. A feeling of uncertainty or lack of conviction. To question the truth or fact about something. Mark 11:23. And James 1:6 says, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." And then James says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." Okay, so if we can't pray and move a mountain, should we expect anything from God? You know, I've thought about that, struggled with it. And, you know, yeah, absolutely, we can expect things from God, even if there's a time that we have doubt. You know, a lot of times our doubt is whether God's going to answer our prayers the way we want. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, we know he's in total control. But I think the doubt comes from whether you believe God is who he is or if he's not who he is. And, you know, if in our hearts we fully believe that God is God and Jesus Christ died for our sins, which is what it takes for us to have life eternally, that, you know, he's a father. He's a perfect father. He helps us grow. He walks with us through life. He's there to pick up the pieces. He's there to make some pieces sometimes when we need it. But we just have to always know and believe that he's there. And if we truly believe that, then we don't have to worry about if we can't move a mountain. You know, he's telling us that it is possible, and I believe that it is. I'm weak. I don't think I can move a mountain, actually. So, but, you know, Satan uses these things, and he uses them one on top of another. You know, it's just like, okay, he could use doubt to discourage us. He can deceive us to cause doubt and discouragement. He's not going to hit us with one thing. He's going to attack us every which way, every second, to try to discourage us, to all of these things, deceive us, distract us, to keep us from being connected with God, because that's where he has zero power, and that's what scares him to death. And, you know, it's not sad to say that everyone doesn't love God and Satan doesn't have any room to work, but he's got so much space to operate in. And, you know, I just pray for the day God comes and takes us and we're done the struggle. And, you know, but we have to have struggles or else we're not going to grow. God wants us to grow our faith and by actually struggling versus just by sight. You know, if he gave us everything we wanted, then what benefit is it to us? You know, it takes effort on our part if we're going to grow our faith, if we're going to, you know, become better Christians all the time. So I'm going to close this quick. I was thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to do this as long as Nick. You know, Nick likes to go. I hope he's not watching. But I can see how, you know, he ends up running over because it does take time. But I guess what I'm trying to say, you know, we're a family here. I've said that before, and hopefully that we can, you know, be on guard for these things, and then when we see them happening, we can recognize them and adjust and grow our faith to be able to move a mountain one day. And, you know, it's just to be able to share with you guys is an awesome thing, and it's getting more and more awesome as I get closer and closer to the end. But everybody should try this sometime, because, you know, to give to your family, you know, to share with them, to help them, to edify them is one of God's gifts. And I just thank you for your time and pray that we can recognize this and not allow Satan to rob us of any more of our peace than necessary. And actually, I had John 14, verse 27. It says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Oh, I had another page. I'm just going to hit a couple things because we're not living just for a funeral. I heard that line in a song. We are living more than just for a funeral. And, you know, that struck me. You know, there's two things that they say are unavoidable is death and taxes. But I know people have gotten away without paying taxes before. But death, we're not going to escape. And, you know, sometimes we need to remember that, you know, just to say that so that we know why we're actually living, what we're living for. We need to make the most out of life. And that's not trying to see how much we can get out of it. It's to see how much we can give, because that's when you get the most out of life. And, you know, it doesn't make sense. Oh, better to give than receive. Yeah, right. It's true. Back to being anxious about nothing. You know, I was anxious about the about doing this, but, you know, we're not supposed to be. Stronger our faith, the stronger we build our faith, the easier it becomes. It becomes secondhand. It becomes our nature, which is what God wants to help us do. Okay, so how do we overcome? With prayer, support from others, study, and helping others, doing things for others. We got to remove ourselves from the driver's seat and put God in the driver's seat. You know, each of us here want to, and that's just why we're here, to put God first in everything in our lives. But the reality is, there's parts of our life that we keep control over, that we are God of. You know, and sometimes going back to the deceiving ourselves is that, you know, there's part of our lives that we don't want to give up control of, you know, that we just think we can do it better. But it's until we fully give our lives to God, which the greatest example I've seen of that in this body is Bob Ridings. That man gave himself 100%. And it's very encouraging to see that. And you know, it makes me that I hope when I grow up I can be just like him one day, because he you know, it was 59 is when he was changed, when he became a changed man. So that's next year for me. So, well, actually no, it's the end of this year. So he's a great example, you know, and believe me, I'm not putting Bob above Christ, but you know, when you know, we're here, we're now, we're seeing, we're feeling, we're touching. Bob is a he had no idea I was going to do this, but he is a true inspiration to me, and I'm sure anybody that really knows him. Okay, another way that we can help do this is to slow down, to think before we speak. That's huge. I don't do that completely, but a lot of times I'll do that, and just those couple moments to think about what you're going to say, because here's how it happens. If you cannot speak right away, you hear in your head what you were going to say, and then you adjust it, and then you say, "Ooh, well, how's that going to affect? What's the next step after that going to be?" And when we take those moments, we end up saying something totally different and something that is totally good, something that diffuses any anger, diffuses any ill will or anything. So it's be slow to speak and think first. That's a great tool that we can do. So if we can do that, put God first, put others first, then we'll be able to live the life and have the peace that God wants us to have. Amen. And that is the end. I would have really been terrible to be done and then realize I didn't have my whole last page. I didn't even go through. But thank you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for this lesson, for using me to help everyone, Lord. I just pray that I take these words to my own heart and to live a life that puts you first, that puts you in total control, Lord. It's not easy, and we're thankful for Christ's blood that forgives us when we do fall short. But I just pray a special prayer on our family here, Lord, that you would help us to not only be better ourselves, but to help all those we come in contact with, to help the lost, Lord. Too many times we struggle to just deal with our own life and worry about our own needs, but just help us to love one another, Lord, the way you loved us. And I just pray that you bless each person here, families, bless those that are traveling and aren't here with us. And we just thank you for your love and for Christ's sacrifice. It's in his name we pray. Amen.